You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book. Get ready to hit your marks. We're about to get it in. Today is Sunday, the day before Memorial Day. How y'all feeling?
We good! It's Broadway Black! We back!
Yes.
That was a short version.
Yes, come on. That was a nice little ditty for this week.
I love it, ditty.
Thank you.
I love a nice little ditty.
Oh, now you can. So now we have a television in the studio, and so we can see the levels, and so she can understand
how loud she is.
What it is that I've been meaning.
The levels.
Well, that's what's up. But I'm so glad to see y'all. I feel like I haven't seen you in like all this week. I usually see y'all
in the week at activities and functions and events.
But I haven't really been. There hasn't been too much. Well, we went to
where y'all go.
Where we have been.
What y'all do?
Our Lady of 121st Street.
We sure did.
That was nice. That was cute.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not talking about the play. I just crashed the L party. I didn't see the show. I am not saying anything about the show.
The show is actually really good.
Thank you.
I was pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. But it also felt like I think did we talk about this? We felt like a pilot episode. Like it felt like it was just an introduction to characters.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And instead of a full complete piece.
Okay.
I felt like there was more. Like I know the good pieces leave you wanting more, but this felt like I wanted some closure.
Okay.
Really,
but I didn't really get that. Yeah, it felt I needed some of the loose
like
ends
I need a
to be
more.
Yeah, tied up.
Mm. I had a great time. The food was pleasant and
the
food DJ was
but it was not Paradise Blue.
See,
food.
I had just crashed the party the week prior for Paradise Blue, even though I did see Paradise Blue, praise the Lord. But Paradise Blue had like fried chicken and greens and like grits. The grits were a little not so
and
good,
this party
but the grits
had
were good.
Potato salad that was
and,
cold.
And grilled fish like, and greens. Wilted spinach.
And potato salad should be cold, but I should say these were potatoes tossed in like
a crema.
Right, like
that nasty shit.
Like raw onion and mayonnaise and
cilantro.
Cold like
that shit that I can't get behind.
Yes.
Like potatoes with the skin still on it.
Yes.
Like that's what I need.
Red,
like,
red
I need
potatoes.
To right, like red potato.
That's that fancy potato salad.
I'm like, no, I just didn't understand. Like
no thank you.
Oh
no.
My goodness. But so that was fun, but we went all the way downtown.
Oh, right, because after the party,
oh my God.
Bill Harper like hosted an after party at
after party,
and it was an after after party.
That's what it was given.
And it was like 34 blocks way down. But we had a good
that was fun
time.
Yeah,
thank you, Hill Harper. Shout out to Hill Harper.
Thank you, Hill Harper. That was really fun.
Awesome after
we
party.
We was dancing and
singing.
And Lord, I wasn't I talking to Boone about getting on social media. Okay, so let's talk about that.
Oh,
how important it is to
God.
Be. No, because I just felt like that is. I just didn't understand. Like, where I understood what he was trying to say, but it just didn't make a lot of sense.
So
to
we
me.
Have a friend, an actor whose name is Joshua Boone, who is not on any social media,
none
of any kind.
I did an Insta story and was trying
That's
to tag
admirable.
Us. Hey, like, what's your, you know, what's your handle? He's like, oh, I'm not on it. And he was, I mean, it was a sense of confidence and proud. Like,
he takes pride in not being on.
And you wasn't like, here for it.
No, and you know, like, because it took Danye.
Danye, watch, here's the thing, Danye. I walked into the conversation and I said, Drew, don't go down this road. And I have been down this road with Joshua Boone before. We have had time and time again, we have had arguments and debates. Do not do it. I came back 20 minutes later. His face was purple. He was red.
You were over it.
It was smoke like, coming out of his ears. He was over it. And I said, I told you.
Because I said he's a talented actor, but he's losing opportunity, and he just told me, well, those aren't the opportunities that I want, which I can understand. But sir, like, let's be real, let's be honest. We live in a day of social media, and you have the ability to cultivate and to shape your image.
Yeah,
take that opportunity to do so. Get in front of the story.
Yes, and a lot of time you can control the narrative.
Exactly.
Like, people blame social media on the negativity. It's like, first of all, you control who you follow. You control who sees what you post. You can create the perfect social media community for yourself
if you
so choose.
Right.
So don't blame it like, oh, social media is whack.
Especially as an actor nowadays, that this is what people are looking for.
Yes, yeah. I've been to auditions where they ask for how many followers do you have.
Yes, it's a real thing. And that's you can lose jobs not just because that I'm more talented. But if nobody knows about your more talented self, then who cares?
Listen, I say it's 2018. Either you can play the game or you don't have to. Like,
right.
That's just is what it is.
And I think that it's important that we as actors, especially as Black people, learn to cultivate that image and learn to be there for one another in the social media presence. Mm-hmm. Learn to support one another. Just get around that idea that this is not going anywhere.
It's
we can
not.
Try to fight it all we want to and try to say, oh, well, I'm going to stay back here in the, you know, because he kept telling me it's the tortoise in the hare. I said, no, sir, you're not even in the race. You're not in it. You're not in the race.
I'm weak.
So you can't even be the tortoise because you're not in
God,
it.
God, help. You at the house.
You at, yeah,
you,
right.
You making
you
greens.
Even, you ain't even started.
You at the house.
You haven't even started.
Right. With onions and a crumb.
So, I mean, and I understood what he was trying to say, you know, the jobs and the people that are focused on that. He's focused about the art and focused about the work. But so is Condola Rashad.
Whoa. Mm.
And she's working.
Well.
And she has a presence and she stays true to who she is. And they're like, Ambry Mon.
Oh, thank you.
Does the same thing. And, you know, even Joshua Henry, he does his own, he started the Burr's Corner.
Yeah,
you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
And like, those are the types of things that you need to do in order to just sustain and set yourself apart.
Yeah.
And continuously feed your fan base because they want to see you outside of the theater as well or outside of your work. That is just a part of the business. That's a part of the reality. People want to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to shape that image and show them who you are as much as you want to, just as much as Beyonce shows as much as she wants to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we hang on to every single word or every little thing she does because we want to know it all. But she only gives us that little bit. So take that opportunity. I just want to put that out there that you should take that opportunity to create that image for yourself. It's very important for you as an actor if you're going to be in front of the camera, if you're going to be a creative. And you get a lot of jobs. Like, you can connect with people, figure out what's going on beyond your limited scope and beyond your limited experiences. Figure out what's happening in the industry.
Tell the truth.
The thing is, he's working. But you think he could work more and have more opportunities.
I know that he could. I can tell you, I know for a fact that he has lost opportunities because he is not present socially. Mm-hmm. You're not present. People only think about who they last, you know, like people only think about and remember in, you know, as much as people love everybody's work and like, oh, I know so many talented artists, but when somebody comes to me and asks me about a particular job or filling a particular position, I'm thinking about who have I seen recently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was the last person or who fits that bill that I can think about that I've just connected with? Oh, I just saw them at this place, or I just seen them on social media doing this, this, and this. They would be perfect for that. You have to stay in people's minds. You have to stay relevant. And because we're in an age where social media has taken over, that this is part of it now. Staying relevant and staying in people's minds.
And it just helps you to get in certain rooms. A friend of mine was talking to me about a director. I literally the next day met the director at a party. He was like, oh yeah, I have a project I want you to audition for because I looked you up and I saw your YouTube and I saw your website and I saw your this and that and I know you'd be perfect for the gig. I didn't even have to come in the room.
Mm.
Like, he saw all he needed from what because I control my own narrative, from what I put on my website, from what I control on my YouTube page.
Right.
Like, because of what I've cultivated for myself.
Yeah.
He was like, oh yeah, I already know. Oh yeah, we already gonna do it. Like, I saved myself time and energy.
Right.
I ain't have to show up. I ain't have to memorize nothing. booked. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying you can help yourself out a lot.
You can help yourself out. But now I know Danye is you know, on the opposite spectrum, because he fought me about Twitter for the longest
time. But he on it and he cute.
He on it now, yes. He fought me about the Twitter for a long time. Didn't want to do it. Was like,
yeah, Twitter, I'm not a tweeter. I'm not a twatter.
Mind you, I didn't even set up my account. My husband did.
Look at God.
Because he was like, Danye, he was on your side. He said, yeah. Danye, you're going to need a Twitter.
You're going
to
need it.
And you don't want anybody else to make an account for you. Well, so just do it right now.
Right.
But so I will say, as a writer, though, I've gotten so many opportunities. I found out about fellowships and residencies programs through, like, other people posting things and tagging me to it, or just other people posting things, and I just go
But that you were available to tag.
Be available. Be available in the
You have to be available.
Yeah. How many free tickets? How many times have I logged on Facebook and it's like, who can get to so-and-so theater at 7:30?
Boom,
free tickets to this Broadway show.
And your whole night has changed. Your whole experience.
To me.
Somebody has spoken into your life.
Oh, Shatta, listen.
Come on.
Do you know the number of, come through Christ. Jesus sent himself back in the form of Instagram. Let me tell you.
You are missing out.
Listen, he's here.
You.
He is among me.
He is.
Okay? Miss out if you want. I'll take your free ticket. I don't care. That's fine, boo.
Listen, we need it.
One more thing.
You know what? Actually, just don't get on it. Just don't even get on it. You're right. You are so right. You don't. You don't even need it. Just you stay right on back there, tortoise. You stay right on back there, and I'll sop all this up with a biscuit. Lord, Father God.
That's the truth.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the whole truth.
But yeah, I want you all to succeed. I want you all to be in the race. And you know what? I have to go back to, because last week I was talking about how I go in and you know, I go off on people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my mama straight up called me on
Praise
up.
Praise God for mama.
Oh, my goodness. My mama called me on up. And she, you know, she didn't, you know, my mom has changed over the years.
My God.
She has grown and she's a woman of God. And, you know, she was just telling me, I'm going to be a missionary by this time next year.
Come on, mother.
And so she's been in her classes and she's been doing her thing. And so I'm really proud of her.
Well,
but
right.
She called me, and my mom has usually has a temperament that it takes, you know how mothers can be. And the temperaments of to them towards their children.
Especially black mamas.
Right, exactly.
Listen.
You know, no holds barred.
I'm already ready for
But
this
my mom, you know, my mom came to me and she just, you know, she came in a different approach and she just wrapped me around with her words. And I said, you know what, you are so right. She told me, she said, you know, Andrew, I was listening to the show and, you know, I feel like you got it honest from your mom. You know, I just, one thing I don't like, I've never liked anybody to disrespect me.
Come on.
And she said, you know, I have learned over the years that I have to allow people to do what they think they're doing. And let me, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do what it is that I'm going to do, and I'm going to kill them with kindness. I'm going to smile and be kind, as much as it may hurt me.
Yeah.
She said, but I know the moment that I try to get them back, God is going to get me.
Oh.
And she said, I have to let God do whatever he's going to do. And he always switches it and changes it around. But she said, you know what? You just have to be calm and realize that it's nothing that you can do, and what they're going through is nothing concerning you.
Yes.
And so don't allow the devil to use you, because those are the ways of the enemy. She doesn't want the devil to use me, and knowing that that's my weak spot.
Yes.
And every time I get tested, I lose.
Every damn time.
Every single time. She said, every single time you get tested, you're losing.
Yes.
Because you're just jumping right into the trap.
Every time.
And she said, you just have to let people do what it is that they think that they're doing, and know that they're not. No matter how much it may hurt you at the time, that they're going to get what is coming to them.
Yes.
She said, you know, I don't like to boast or anything. She said, but I've seen people lose their lives messing with me.
Ooh.
I've seen people lose their jobs messing with me.
Uh-huh, that's true.
And that's nothing to be boastful about, but she said, I have to remember that God has me in control, that I am his one and his son. And so I have to remember that and walk in that and walk in the truth of what that means to be more Christ-like.
Ho-ho.
And so she just wrapped me on together.
I wish somebody could put us in A-flat right now. My God.
With their words.
Yeah.
My mom just really, you know, and I understood it, but I just, you know, because I've always been that way. You know, I used to feel so silenced that I did not I take every opportunity to say what it is on my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I have to stop doing that.
Yes, God.
I have to stop doing that. And so, you know, last week I had to cut out some things from the episode.
Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I went on in.
It got real.
It got real.
It got mighty real.
But I thought, you know, God, that's going to be my test, to not jump on every opportunity to tell people about themselves.
It's hard. It's hard.
Man, especially when you're dealing with white people.
Well.
And so I have a difficult time not saying anything, but I'm gonna challenge myself in that.
And you gotta pick your battles.
Pick my battles, because my mama said, you know, if you're not in the fight, you're not helping anybody.
That's true.
And so if I cancel myself out by saying anything and everything, that I'm not helping anybody, and I'm ultimately not doing what I set out to do, because I've canceled myself out by not playing the game.
Yes.
In a way. But also, it's a weird line to play the game and then also be true to yourself and not feel like you're, you know, being a part of respectability politics.
No.
And you know, it's just a fine line, because I'm tired, but I'm also not tired enough.
Oh, I hear you.
You know, I'm not tired enough to stop fighting, but I'm tired from having to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to make sure that I'm able to successfully fight, but also not be walked over.
Yeah.
And then it's, what fight are you going to choose?
Yeah.
Right? Like, understanding, okay, this is when I need to say something. This is when I need to advocate for myself. And this is when I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't need to say a word.
Like, that was a taxi cab. You know what I mean? Like, in the bigger span of things,
we can't say her name because we cut it all out. Chris, we gotta cut this part. Chris took the pen.
He's ready. I know that's right. Shout out to Chris.
Thank you for our engineer.
So in certain circumstances in life, you just got to look at it, right?
Yes,
and stare it right in the face.
Put a bleep on it. Just put a bleep on it.
You're like, what was that bleep?
In certain instances in life, you just got to look at the bigger picture. You're like, I could cuss out this person right now, but in the end, what's that going to do?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, started thinking about it, too, because I was telling y'all that I never want to hinder you two, because you all work, and I work in the business as well. I can't say that I don't, but I have never wanted or never want to hinder you two from working with people that I necessarily don't agree with, just because of my opinions and things that I say on this show. So that's a major thing for me, too. If I'm going to say it, let me get my own YouTube channel or something and get everything off my chest.
Yes, I hear you.
But my mom will probably cancel it before I even
help me.
A chance to send it. My mom will cancel me. I thank God for my mom to come through with that message on you know, the other day. She was
thank
like, I was
you,
just
mama.
Listening. Because,
shout out to black moms.
To giving
but
me different perspective.
Us,
yeah, checking us. Yes, yes. Wrapping
every now
us
and
up.
Then, like every now and then, a call from your mama gets you all the way right.
Yep, it did. It had me a little teary. And I said, you know, mom, you know that I just don't like being disrespected. And
absolutely.
I don't like people feeling as though that they can talk to me any kind of way.
Yes.
And it burns me up on the inside. Mm-hmm. And I have to sort of manage that anger and figure out a way to release that in a more healthier way. And she just reminded me of that. And she did it softly. And that's something that I needed at the time. I needed to be approached softly. And so I thank you. Thank you, mom. Shout out to my mama for that.
Thank you, mama.
And so she loves her some y'all, too.
I love you,
so,
mama.
You know, I said,
mom,
you listen to the show. You know, we be cussing and stuff. And she said, I know, but I suffer. I cringe every time, but I suffer. I suffer through it because I love y'all.
Thank you, mama. So, we love you.
Yes, we do.
Man.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Well, so what else? What you been up to? You been in rehearsals this week, Dunya?
In rehearsals, I feel like all damn day, every day. But it's like some beautiful work happening.
Yeah.
Some beautiful work. Yesterday was the first rehearsal where we put everything together.
Yes.
Because we were, of course, like just working everything in chunks. So it was the first day where we put everything together. It was a designer run. And it was the first day I got to hear the music. And because there's a tree in the play that talks and it sings and it does all this like mystical.
Now, can you tell us who this is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm excited.
Bless him.
Michael Kilgore.
Ah,
Michael Kilgore
Deacon.
Is the voice.
Reverend Wright, Reverend.
Now, if we can get a sample, can we do that?
We can do
pushing,
that.
I'm pushing a little.
We can do that.
You can just hold it up to just hold it
once
up to the mic.
Once we're done with this episode. Because y'all got to come see the show.
You got to come see it. I
hear it.
But wait. Ain't it sold out?
It's sold out.
It's sold out.
Uh-huh.
So if you ain't got no ticket, I'm so sorry about it. You better wait for this extension because you know what's coming.
Come on now. And it sold out yesterday.
As soon as that extension comes, you know, that is like I'm about to hop on and just to buy tickets just to have them on hold.
Get these tickets, y'all. Because it's some beautiful work happening. And when I heard
My StubHub account is because I'm about to have about 10 tickets, y'all.
When I heard the work that Michael did with the musical director, I'm surprised I'm still here right now.
I love
and
it.
And I didn't just literally unravel and lose myself completely.
My God.
He literally, every single time he opened up his voice and his throat, I felt every ancestor. I felt every single thing. It's going to be a beautiful experience.
Now, you know, now Michael Kilgore has the voice of the queer ancestors. If you really think about it, that bottom heavy throat of his.
I didn't know where you were going.
I'm saying.
Get out. Get out.
You said that. Bottom said, wait.
But if you don't get out the studio right now.
I said, uh-oh, Chris, press the button. Mute that.
Bleep.
But y'all know what I'm trying to say.
I knew you was going for. I was following you.
He is like Sylvester and
everything.
Like just everything. Billy Porter, Sylvester, all of the Divine. I don't even know. Like just
every single artist every you throat. Can think of. Like I was so moved that I've been listening to it nonstop since yesterday.
Yeah, because we walked into the building, I heard all this weeping and wailing.
You said it was slave moaning. Who doing all that slave moaning in your ears?
I've been listening to it nonstop.
And lo and behold.
Lo and behold.
But that's what's y'all, up.
It is going to be magic. I cannot. Y'all, though it's sold out right now.
But listen, because when I think about the soundtrack of 12 Years of Moonlight, Michael Kilgore is
he would win an Oscar. This would be the winning song.
Like, oh my God, this is perfect.
And he is doing it.
Worlds are colliding like so great.
Oh,
and I just
hate
love
all
it right
of
now.
Y'all so much.
And like I was saying, though we're sold out right now, the hope is for an extension.
Not the hope, it's extending, y'all.
And please,
it's going to extend about 2 to 3 more weeks.
Yep.
It's going to extend about 2 to 3 more weeks. So right now, the closing date is what date?
July 8th.
So y'all can get tickets to about August 2nd. So tickets will be playing about August 2nd. So make sure y'all get ready. Y'all put it on the calendars. Like, be on the MTC website. Uh-huh. Just get ready. Follow Donye on his Facebook because he'll let you know as soon as it's happening.
Okay.
So that you can get the tickets and hop on it because it's going to extend and it's going to sell out again.
Because right now, people are already messaging me. Can you get me a ticket?
Can we just shout out a black man in his off-Broadway debut already sold out and you just did your designer run?
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about how great that is?
I'm still gagging. And so we just want to make sure that me and Amber can get tickets.
Oh, y'all, come on. Already know.
Like, we just want to make sure, like, you know,
wait,
we humbly come.
Can I tell my truth? The other night, I went on the website, and I said, oh, okay, it's about 5-6 more days. I said, okay, I got time. And then I started watching something on TV, fell asleep, woke back up, and I said, oh, shit, it's sold out. Oh, hell, I done missed the boat. Jesus.
They call you slipping.
You know how you be like, oh, I got time. I can wait. Oh, yeah. I'm going to wait. When I tell you.
No time.
I can't.
I saw Donye's tweet. Donye said, sold out. I said, oh, he lying.
No time.
I can't.
There is none.
Praise God.
Get them tickets.
So, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see this show. It's just, I'm just about to live my entire life. I can't stop thinking about it.
I cannot wait.
So, as soon as we get done with this, I need to hear that.
Yes.
Need to hear what that's talking about. Amber, what's been going on with Secret Garden? How you feeling over there, Martha?
Talk to us.
Black Martha.
We're doing good. Tomorrow we're going to run at 1, so we moving.
Ooh, wow.
That was quick.
Honey,
yeah.
We just learning the music, and all of a sudden you know the whole act.
Listen, they are moving.
Wow.
Because we got presentations in, I think we have 2 weeks left, a little under 2 weeks left. Mm-hmm. So they are moving at the speed of light. But it feels good, you know. I'm in that thing, and I'm learning my Yorkshire dialect, so I sound good for the people.
Yeah,
it's good. I'm having fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
This cast is ridiculously talented. They got some people in this room. So I'm grateful.
I love that.
I'm grateful.
You seen any shows this week?
What did I see? No, I have not seen.
You performed in the show this week. Marcus Paul James.
My brother Marcus Paul James had a show at New Blue, which is downtown, a venue I'd never been to. So cute. Mm-hmm. And me and my girl Kusamone Hall and Christina Nicole Miller sang backgrounds.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I'm so proud of Marcus Paul James. I love it.
That album, Paper Hearts.
Yes.
Chasing paper. Oh, like he just
writes
sings.
And sings down. Mm. And I want to say that in August, I believe it's August 3rd or 4th. Let me look at my phone. He and Crystal Monet Hall are doing a joint concert of Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway. They're doing the whole duets album.
You are lying.
At 54 Below, you can get your tickets now. There is a code for 40% off tickets.
Wow.
That's 40%. Listen, it's a Memorial Day sale.
Wow.
Get your tickets.
Exactly.
But that all is, I'm saying.
You heard it here first. Get them tickets.
All
Make
I'm
sure
saying, first
that.
Of all, is those two throats singing those two throats.
Yes.
It is going to be August 3rd at 54 Below. Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack, sung by Crystal Monet Hall.
Ooh,
that's
and the day after my
Paul
birthday.
James.
I don't even know I'm going to be in town.
Ooh. Listen.
You're going to be living.
That's going to be a night to remember.
I'm hoping I'm on a cruise.
Praise God. Be naked. Be blessed. Yes.
I'm hoping that I'm on a good little cruise. We'll see what happens.
But the rest of us finna be at 54 Below. Yeah, because I'm not going to be on a cruise.
Come
it's not my birthday.
Cruise?
I know. I don't want to take a cruise
for
my birthday.
You
this
should.
Never
you
been
will.
One, so.
Neither have I. You deserve it.
I think I do deserve.
Not I think. You do.
Oh, thank you.
Come on
I
now.
Appreciate that. So we're going to make sure that happens this little summer. Also happening coming up is Donald Weber.
Yes.
It's going to be BB Winans.
Yes.
And
Born for This.
What? And Born for This. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a BB and CC Winans musical called Born for This.
I saw it 2 years
directed.
Ago in D.C.
Yeah.
I believe, yes. I
wow.
And it was also, you know, it did a couple of different cities.
Yes.
It was DC,
it's always on a
Atlanta.
Tour. It's been everywhere.
Yeah, so it's been everywhere.
When
but it's coming
where?
To... coming to Broadway, I believe, eventually,
wow.
But they're doing an out-of-town tryout or a workshop or something of this nature. But I just saw that Donald Weber was cast as BB, which he wasn't in the show previously.
No.
So this is something new that I'm really excited about to see, because Donald Glover sings.
Weber, not Glover, but Weber.
Did I keep saying?
Yes, you did.
How many
it's
times
fine.
Have I said Donald
That's
Glover?
That's fine. It's Donald Weber. It's okay.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay. That's good black man. That's powerful black
right.
man. It's
it just rolled off the tongue.
Sure
did.
It's okay.
Donald Weber Jr.
Yes. Look at God.
Got it.
Listen, is an amazing vocalist, an amazing actor. I also saw him in the reading for the Preacher's Wife musical by Tyrus Burgess.
Yeah.
And he was Dudley, which was the Denzel Washington character. And it was phenomenal. The music in that is also phenomenal. So I'm excited to see what he does with this show.
And Lauren Lott of
Lauren Lott,
Island and Motown is Cece Winans.
Yes. And I just saw her Once on This Island this weekend. And she's a swing.
Yes.
And so she was playing Andrea.
Yes.
She was playing Andrea this weekend. And I was like, look at her. I was like, okay, to have a dark skinned Andrea, because you know it actually still worked though. It was beautiful and her voice was beautiful and I really enjoyed her. I heard that she's covers for Haley too.
And yeah, she's on for Team Moon.
Yeah, so I would
times.
Love to see that too. But I saw Once in the Island again, FYI, you guys. It was actually
of
really good.
Of course you did. Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I need to hear that score.
It's beautiful.
And Haley comes out and I said, because I wanted to feel the wind, so I said on the other side.
Praise God, you felt it. Ooh, it blew your wings back. Blew your wings back. Sure did.
It surely did. So I felt that, and I was pleasantly surprised that I just, you know, got a whole different perspective of the show from the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a different show, because when I was sitting on the other side, you know, when the screen comes down and you do the shadow work, I only see the bodies that create the shadows. I don't actually see the shadow
effect.
Work. Yeah, the effects. So I got to see that this time. And so that was really good. And the music from that is just touches my heart. My life is forever yours.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Like
God.
It just, it gets me. And Haley, she has some good technique, boy. Like that. I don't even know what to call it. The diction that she has.
Come on, diction.
Come on now.
Is something crazy.
Come on.
Like, it is, wow.
Praise God.
It sits.
Work. She sits.
It sits.
But also, you've performed in the circle and square,
that
right?
That was where my debut,
yes. Are there, like, the sound in there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something different?
No. You would think, right?
Because I just... And this is not, you know, maybe, I don't know. This is just, to me, oftentimes when I see shows in that particular space, it's people have a hard time hearing.
Themselves.
Okay. And so they waver, they waver in pitch.
I feel like you can't blame that on the space. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
No, I'm like, listen, Aaron, like, this is no shame. But it's like,
My God.
Some of the, like,
my God, speak on it.
some of the chord structures and things, like, you know, when you're trying to do effects and you know, you know, they be doing the moaning in the background.
Yeah,
it's like,
Then
they do like the little riff in the, you know, in the back, and then it'd be like echoing. It's once in a while, it'd be like echoing, and be like, and they'd be having like the little rain, little instruments and stuff. And I'm like, some of them just start going flat, or like they sit on the outside of the pitch.
Oh, praise God.
And or even some of the chords, like even when some of the people sing together, some of the vibratos and things don't blend well. And I don't know if that's the space in which that they're singing in. And not saying that it's not beautiful, but sometimes it's like it wavers, and that throws me off. Like when I hear off pitches and stuff, and you know, theater actors have a tendency, especially, you know, traditional people that are classically trained in theater have a tendency sometimes, especially some black artists, have a tendency sometimes to waver in pitch and essence in favor of choices, in favor of acting choices. And so they're so in tune that sometimes the voice doesn't necessarily be as grounded as their acting choice. The voice is not as grounded.
We all have our days and our moments. I'm not going to act like I'm, you know,
and you know, that's
the queen
that's what I'm saying.
Because I'm not.
Well, you know what? None of us are. None of us are. So I'm not saying that. I'm not looking for perfect pitch, but I just wondered if in the space that can affect.
Because, see, you know, when I did my show over there, all I had to do was stand and sing. They got goats and chickens and bears and mice and geese, and they in the sand and in the desert and in the sky and under the trees. So it could be that it is hard to hear over there. I'm not going to take that away from people.
I'm not saying that the show is bad or that they're off pitch. I'm just saying that I've noticed that, you know, and that's with any show that I've gone to see,
and
that
sound,
some people.
Well, most people don't understand. It's on Broadway, like, sound is always a thing. Like, you are always struggling. It's not like you're doing a concert and you're standing at a mic, and when you look down, there's a monitor that is
right.
Like when I was doing Shuffle Along, I had to sing behind a scrim. So first of all, there is a sheet. I'm in the dark, and there was a scrim in front of me, so I cannot hear what is going on anywhere. Like there is no monitor pointing at me for me to be able to hear myself. And that's when you have to tap into the ancestors and just trust, because there's literally nothing they can do. And a lot of time designers for set don't want to mess up what they've created, like their vision for a monitor. Like they're like, I don't want to put a monitor on stage because there's not a monitor in this time and period or in my vision that I've created. I don't want a monitor. And it's like, but it's a musical and I need to hear myself.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of times, 50% of the times when you see musicals, those artists cannot hear themselves.
Wow.
They can't hear the person next to them. They can hardly hear the keyboard.
Yeah.
So it's very
difficult. See, that's what I mean. That's what I'm like. That's what I'm like wondering.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
They probably can't hear nothing.
That's crazy to
me. Yes. I can't tell you the number of times I've been on stage and just been like, oh, well, here we go.
Tapping into the ancestors.
Just literally. Or muscle memory. Like, I know what this feels like if I sing it correctly.
Right.
But you can't hear shit. I guarantee you can't hear.
Man, that's so crazy to me.
That is crazy.
I mean, in Hamilton, I remember any time all of us were singing together, it was just a free-for-all. It was literally cross your fingers and pray, because we rotating, we're on turntables.
Exactly.
You're at different parts on the stage where there are no monitors. You're facing upstage. You can't see nobody. Yeah, that thing is hard. So shouts out to everybody over there, because I know y'all going through it.
Yeah.
Wow, and that's a testament to craft and
it really is.
And to discipline.
It really is.
And to just really knowing you and your voice and work it.
And what you're capable of. Right.
I'm amazed.
It's kind of ridiculous.
That.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. And that's what I just, you know, I appreciate it, but I also thought, like, maybe it's something in Circle in the Square, or maybe it's like something with monitors, or the new age of how, you know, theaters are run, or how, you know, musicals are built.
Yeah.
But I just thought about that, because I'm like, normally this person or this and this person that I know would not do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then that's when you can definitely blame
right, like,
space. Yeah.
That's what, that's what I was thinking. Like, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's just wondered what that was about. But, yeah, so we got some hot topics.
Excuse me, you gonna sing my shit?
You gonna let him do that?
Listen, Dina, I don't need you singing my shit. Turn the wigs around. Hot topics, there you go.
I know that's right.
Oh my gosh. I love y'all so
decent. Oh my God, that killed
me. So shout out to Anissa Folds.
Yes.
Who sent me the update on the Edward Regario situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, girl.
I was like, you know, because we talked about it last week. I'm like, she said, maybe he doesn't know because it came out just maybe like
a couple
of days
after. I let the people know who this is.
Wait, who is?
Edward.
Oh, okay. Edward Regario is the guy that we've been talking about in the past couple of weeks, and we're going to keep talking about him until the Stagehands Union has a statement about, you know, what else is going on, what their response is going to be, because now the police have charged him with a hate crime. So he's been charged with a hate crime, and so I don't know what's going to happen from here, but he's been charged. So that's a step in the right direction. Yes. But I wonder if, you know, the union is going to, you know, pick this up or say anything else about this.
Like an official statement being put out there or what?
Is he still working at a theater right now?
Well, I think he's still doing load-ins and things. So, I mean, he's got to be still working in some form or fashion. But the DA said the bigotry and hatred that the defendant is accused of manifesting and acting upon have no place in a civilized society. Especially in Queens County, the most culturally diverse county in the nation.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Listen, Long Island, got all sorts of people and things. Yeah.
So I didn't know that.
He also said no one should be subjected to the vile words and intimidating actions the defendant is accused of tormenting the victim with. Crimes of hate will never be tolerated here, and when they do regrettably occur, those responsible will be brought to justice. So we're looking at some justice for our homegirl that got cussed out by Edward Regario.
But this isn't enough.
This is not enough.
Right. Not enough.
People get charged every day. What's
because
really
he said, "Shut the fuck up, you fucking loud mouth monkey motherfucker." He screamed at her. Like, woo. Like, I can't. But just let you know that is an update on that story. Thank you so much, Anissa, for sending me that, because I had not heard about that until you had sent that to me. So I appreciate you doing that. Also, some other things that are happening. Amber, you sent this. Jennifer Holliday will headline Thoroughly Modern Millie in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's not going to be Millie.
Well,
you lying.
Wait,
she's not going to.
Because that's what I thought when it said headline.
Right.
Like, just assumed. Let's see.
She's not going to be Millie. We know that.
Well,
she's probably going to be, what is it, Von Tussle, whatever the lady name is that Shirley Ralph created. Oh, how's she going? She's going to be the role.
Let us know.
Come on and do the role that Shirley Ralph created.
Yeah, that's probably what it is going to be. I just wanted to say that it was Millie. I just wanted to start some shit. But no, I don't think she's going to be.
No, she can't be. She can't be.
It just says that she will play Muzzy Van Hosmer.
Yeah, okay. So you she's their headliner because she's the most famous person in the show.
Gotcha.
She definitely. I'm like, okay, now, Jennifer.
Listen.
We was already really pushing it with Color Purple.
Right.
With you being Suge.
Listen.
Ooh, remember you went in for, can we say that?
Yeah, oh yeah, when it's over. It's
funny. You're like, wait, hold on.
Chris, bleep.
Amber was supposed to be Suge Avery.
I was supposed to. Come
listen,
on now.
You were supposed
I
to.
Come on now.
And many times I've heard about this audition.
Come on. Listen.
Giving all the
we just ran into somebody that was one
giving
of the.
Giving all this chocolate fever. She's like, okay.
We ran into somebody that was the, who were they? That were the, one of the line readers on the audition?
Probably, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And he was saying that you did that thing.
Well, thank you. Yes, I did. I walked.
And this was over a year ago. A year and a half ago.
A long time ago. Ooh. I remember going in, singing my throat loose, walking out, and seeing Jennifer Holliday in the bathroom. And I said, oh, well, guess I didn't book that one. I was like, yeah, it was me and a couple other actresses, and we saw Jennifer Holliday. We were like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
right.
They're wasting our time. Okay, that's fine. But no, I mean, I had a good time. That was a role that, I mean, would have been really awesome. Like, would have been fun.
Yeah,
but
I want to see you push that button.
Oh, thank you. I pushed the hell out of it. And then I did. My show did. Yes, I did.
We need a little sample.
No, I'm okay.
Thank you. Man,
oh man. I remember that.
Short change.
There's so many. I should write a book about all the ones that you don't get that you went in for and got real excited about.
Oh, yeah. Write that documentary about it.
I know. You really should.
You got some videos or something. Somebody got some videos or something that they didn't probably sent in.
And things that they were in rehearsal for. Like, I have booked After Midnight to be, they needed somebody to be like the singer to fill in between celebrities. Uh-huh. Yep. I had to, and got my, oh yes, we are so excited. And then, oh, actually we're closing. Never mind. Like there's so many things that almost happened, didn't happen, might have happened. But you know, it's all right. I'm good. I'm still here. Praise God.
Amen. Like, well, I feel that. Speaking of Elsa, who was still here, Lilias White is still rocking and doing things. And she's a star in a Norman Rockwell musical called Perfect Picture. Randy Skinner will direct and choreograph the musical about the artist whose illustrations framed an era in American culture. What you laughing at?
I'm laughing at your segue.
You know I get a good...
about who's still here. I'm like, is that really going to be your segue?
She is still alive and kicking. She's also in a new musical with Andre DeShields.
Yeah, she's halftime.
Halftime.
Lord Jesus.
So I'm saying, like, that's, you know.
I hate you,
Jeff. That's relevant.
I believe you.
I can't stand you.
And I can't stand you. But that was a good segue,
though. That was a good segue.
Yes. I got to shout that one out.
I'm excited that Lily is White is still working. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
That she's still out here giving us all that she's got.
And yeah. She's got so much
and
to
she
give.
Has so much to give. Oh, thank you so much. That's like, amazing. Please. Like, I just, Lily is, we need her on the show, too.
Like, ooh, I would love that.
I keep claiming all these people that's going to be on the
show.
Oh,
we can get Lily's. We need Lily's up
we
in here.
We need Lily's up in here.
Yeah, yeah.
So, speaking of which, Diane's not going to be here for 3 weeks.
Tell the people
that. You had to remind me.
Well, yeah, because I need the people to know so that they don't be looking at me crazy.
And they can shade your ass on Instagram.
Right, so they can get to you. They don't come to me. Go straight to Diane.
But it's for good reason.
Don't cry.
It's
out in the middle of the show. I won't be here for 3 weeks. Work with Sugar. We're getting into previews and tech and all of the... stuff that is intense.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't love y'all enough to
say that. Don't say that because I was really trying to figure out a way to make it work.
That's
so I can still be here. So don't listen to Drew. Don't come at my, we were just talking about social medias. Don't come at me on social media.
Don't at me, niggas.
Because don't I will me. Quickly pull a Joshua Boone and get off social media. If y'all gonna come at me like that, so don't do that. Don't do it.
He said I will quickly get off.
He gonna be a tortoise at the house.
Okay.
Just two
make
tortoises.
Make a potato salad.
Listen, Diane's already won the race, so I don't think he ever even needs
this episode gonna be called Tortoises and Tater Salad.
Either that or, I was thinking on this one, either that or bleep.
Y'all so love to name the episode in the middle of the episode.
Because we get some good ones. We get some gems.
Yes, we do have some gems.
We get some gems, but yes 3 weeks, I won't be here. I'm going to miss y'all so much. I know the episodes are going to be popping. It's going to be amazing.
Well, he's got some good people
some
lined up.
Yeah.
He's got some good people lined up for
good ass, dope ass people.
That's good.
So, yeah.
I'm excited.
Praise God.
Should be fun.
Praise God.
So, what else? I wanted to talk about the Alvin Ailey dancers.
Please.
Ooh, yeah.
Tell the people what happened.
And I am just, like, sort of outdone. The Alvin Ailey dancers are fighting for fair wages. Mm-hmm. Like... that just even sounds crazy.
Yeah. I know.
That the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, the dancers are fighting to just be paid fairly. Their contracts and the way that they're paid doesn't match other programs that are in the same financial situation.
Yes.
That have the same sort of budget as they do.
Mm-hmm.
On such a large scale. They get paid around 30% less than those dancers, and they're more worked according to all the things that are happening. And so there's a negotiation update, and they are in talks of trying to get fair wages. And I thought that Revelations alone should have got you.
And reparations. Listen.
Come on.
You should have all the things.
All of the things. Because Ailey dancers bring something no other dance company, like you can't even think of any other dance company.
You're right.
Major dance company that you were like, oh my gosh, I have to see them besides what, American Ballet
Theater?
Uh-huh. Like that's the only other company that you can think of, and that's not even black owned.
Well.
So, you know, the only person we're going there to see is Misty Copeland.
Come on.
I can't even name all the dancers in American Ballet.
Not I said the cat.
And like just for me to put it into I can't, like some moments I'm trying to have a serious moment.
And she just come in. It is Amber's fault. Then this is what happened because people now send me clips of the beginning of the episodes and people be like, it's 10 seconds in the episode and Amber is
just
going,
everywhere.
Like, Amber is going like, and they just be sitting there with their face looking like, oh my God. Like, Amber.
Is we going to start this episode? What is this episode? I will say last week episode when I was listening to it for the first time, I would got my entire life. I was laughing.
You
I was like,
dying.
Wait, why am I laughing like I wasn't even a part of this episode?
I'm laughing at my own shit.
Well,
I'm funny.
You are so funny. But yeah, so this is really sad, y'all. Like, it is sad.
Though.
I know a lot of these dancers personally, and I didn't know that this was something that they were, you know, fighting against, but I see them all the time, you know, creating their own content, creating their own work, and creating their own narratives and their own image.
They have to.
Beyond A-League. You know, so a lot of them are very fashion focused and fashion forward and doing their own dance projects and things on tour. And they just do a lot, and to see that they're not being compensated, especially when that work is so hard on their bodies.
And that you can only do it for such a short amount of time.
So why are we cheating our own?
That's
we have
crazy.
To stop doing that. We have to stop cheating our own, because we're never going to get anywhere doing that. And that's just sort of sad to me, man. Like,
I literally had to put it into perspective for myself, because now I'm thinking back when we were just talking about like musicals and like what those like you artists have to do and like being able like to hear yourself sometimes, not being able to hear the other individuals and putting in all this extra work. And so now just imagine that in terms of these dancers, the amount of work that they put on their bodies being paid equally for that. That's insane.
It is insane.
It's insane.
I can't believe it.
Lord, Father God. Well, we're 2 weeks away from the Tony Awards.
Are we excited?
Yeah, I know. It's 2 weeks, right?
Wow.
I can't believe it. I still don't know what I'm wearing.
Praise the Lord.
I know what Philip wearing. I don't even know what I'm wearing.
Get yourself together.
I'm styling Philip Boykin for the red carpet.
I'm so excited about that. I know he's going to look fly.
Oh, he's going to be good. I'm excited about it. We do a fitting this week, too. So.
Yes.
I'm geeked about it. I also started work on this new musical I told you guys about, Emoji Land.
No, you didn't tell us. When did you start?
You were...
I was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tell me about it.
I'm the press agent on a new music called Emoji Land. It's going to be at the New York Musical Festival.
I've heard about Emoji Land.
It's going to be at Nymph. Yeah. I'm really, really excited about it. And it's a really great show, so make sure you check that out. We've got some really great things in store, so I'm excited
about
that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you, boo? Styling, profiling, also,
literally. Literally. Okay? All of it.
Get all the checks.
Also, our Tony Awards viewing party.
Yes.
If you're on our mailing list, you will receive a special invitation tomorrow.
That's cute.
You have to be on our mailing list for the
invitation. Y'all better go on that mailing list. Stop playing.
And all proceeds will be going to our new nonprofit.
Get your gowns, people.
So we're really excited. It's a really small, intimate. I told you I didn't want to do anything big this year.
It's
a small, intimate dinner. It's a 3-course meal at a plant-based restaurant.
Y'all got crab and lobster. Who eating? What we eating?
It's a plant-based restaurant, so it's everything is plant-based.
What that mean?
And so, but I listen when I tell
we
you the
coleslaw,
food.
What that mean?
No,
plant-based. What the hell? Niggas don't want no plant-based on Sunday night.
When I tell you that I had a vegan burger, a veggie burger.
Okay.
And I had these wonderful mushrooms and like honey glazed mushrooms. And
I'm not impressed. What are you
saying? It's too bougie for me. Okay.
Listen, when I tell you.
Is it biscuits plant based?
I thought I was going to have to leave and get real meat. I did not.
It's chicken and waffles
filling.
Plant based. I'm concerned.
So wait.
We're going to talk about this.
It is a three course meal, all plant based.
So for dessert, we have an asparagus.
When I tell you that
we have an asparagus. What?
With a drizzle of water.
I told y'all that I am now letting my business work for me and not for it.
Okay, so what happened?
So I'm on a healthy lifestyle living.
Come through.
So I do still eat meat, but I know that there are people that are beyond me in that lifestyle, and so that they eat, you know, vegetarian, they eat clean, or they're vegan. And so I want to be able to have food options for them. But this is also not to deter meat eaters, because I'm a meat eater.
Praise God.
Ribs and chicken are not going anywhere in my life. And so when I tell you that the food is good, I would not lie to you.
You wouldn't.
I have been talking about this restaurant. I actually would go back just to go and dine.
But just in case, I just want to tell the people to eat before they come. Just in case.
No. I'm telling you, you are not going to need to.
Okay. Don't listen to her. Pack some pretzels in your bag. Just keep a Cliff Bar in your clutch, just in case.
So I'm excited about it. You're not even going to be here, are you?
I know, and I'm talking shit.
Talking all the shade. Tell them to pack the steak.
Are you going
to
be here?
I don't think I'll be here.
Are you going to be in rehearsals?
Damn.
It's June the 10th.
But it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
They don't take no Sundays off.
What you got to do? You got a show that day?
Yeah, because now I'm trying to think, because previews start the 5th. Yeah.
And so you got a show on the
Sunday.
They
got a show.
Damn.
At like 2:30 or something, don't you? Or is it a night show?
I think it's a 7:30 show.
Ooh, that's right when the war is supposed to start.
No, I'm going to double check.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to check. Let gonna, me know.
He going to miss out on the carrot souffle. Right.
The carrot souffle. You know what?
Shut up.
And the asparagus.
I'm trying to tell y'all, the food is bomb.
No,
fuck.
I believe you.
I know it
I
is.
I believe you.
Like, when I tell you, like, oh, God, I can't wait to even have
All
it.
All right now, yet. Drew.
I'm serious.
He's having a real moment. Oh,
oh.
Y'all know I'm
back on it.
Y'all know. I'm so excited to eat this broccoli casserole.
I closed my eyes for a second, too, thinking about
That's
it.
That's why I'm like,
like, ooh.
Nigga, if you don't relax,
cabbage ain't that good. Nigga, you getting too excited.
I'm telling you, that shit was bomb as hell. I ain't never thought a fried artichoke could get me right together. But it did.
I ain't never even hear a fried artichoke.
Shoes, when
okay.
I tell you.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's gonna be a good party. That's
it's gonna be
good.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun. Okay. Like, I'm excited. I want to tell you who the host is, but I haven't really confirmed that yet.
What they name rhyme with?
I ain't saying it.
What it rhyme?
Because if it don't come through, I'm gonna be mad.
Okay, praise okay. God. Tell me later.
But yeah, so we do have, you know, we do special music and stuff mm-hmm. in between mm-hmm. commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. We sing and we gather. And,
yes, gathering.
So yeah, it's gonna be a good time. I'm excited. I got a special cocktail working
yes.
with Pompette Wine and Spirits. This black owned wine shop Ooh. In Harlem on 131st Street, yeah, 131st and Lenox. So make sure you check out my friend Moselle at Pompette Wine Shop, and
hey,
so
Moselle.
He's gonna be helping us with that. And yeah, so I'm excited. It's gonna be a good couple of weeks.
He said it's gonna be a nice intimate dinner.
Yeah, right? It's a nice intimate dinner. We
and
watching
sometimes
the show.
Those are the best.
Like,
yeah,
nice piano
yeah.
player.
Come on.
I have a black violinist coming. Mm-hmm. And,
come on,
and
class and grace and style.
You know how I am. I like to dine. I like fine dining, and
yes.
I like good food, and mm-hmm. I like good atmosphere and good energy. So if mm-hmm. you don't have a good energy, and you sign up to
you
pay for a ticket,
stay at home and eat your chicken.
I will gladly decline your mm-hmm. gladly decline your money if you don't have good energy.
That's good.
So yeah, so we will have a good time.
Come through.
What else is happening over the next couple of weeks? Since you're gonna be gone, you're gonna be just doing your show.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing else hopping and popping.
Wait, what?
Popping. Ooh.
No, like literally, I feel like I have been in a haze.
You probably
for,
have.
Like the past few weeks.
Now, where did you find that big old magical tree you was underneath?
What you talking about?
You was in the pictures with Saheem.
Oh, child. So we did some promo earlier this week, and one of the actors, Sheldon Best, morning when he was off, he went running in Prospect Park, and he noticed this tree. This tree was amazing. It I don't know how high it went up, but like the sides just like draped down, and you could actually walk inside the tree.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
so
you were just like covered completely by like just this tree.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And so we were doing promos, and they wanted to do promos in Central Park. We were like, no, we have to go to Prospect Park. So that's where we were doing some promos for the show. And it just it fueled me and just like got me up so much more in terms of my excitement, because now thinking about like what the tree will look like. And shout out again to Michael Kilgore, who's voicing the tree. So just seeing this big ass tree
mm-hmm.
and hearing this big ass voice, child.
That's what's up. And speaking of Michael Kilgore, he's going to be doing one of my favorite musicals,
yeah.
Songs for a New World.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, that's
my sister,
Saleha
Pfeiffer.
Yes. There's going to be some. They about to
sing. And Shoshana Bean.
Yes, they're about to sing down.
Do
I
it,
can't
people.
Wait. Encores, don't play with me on my tickets this time. Come
also,
on.
You know what's going up? Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. Savion Glover's directing
yes.
it with my girl,
Allie.
I'm not in that one. I would tell you if I was in it. But Savion is directing it. A lot of our Shuffle Along fam is in the show. I think they're still announcing some of the casting.
Oh, and speaking of another show happening, Signature Theater in D.C., the Scottsboro Boys.
Oh,
yes,
saw
it sure
that.
Is going up.
Yeah, so make sure y'all go check
yeah,
that out too
like
if you're in the D.C.
long
area.
Run from like May to August or something.
I'm
like
all
that.
About that. I'm about to go down there
yeah,
and see it. I need to go see my boys.
That's how.
Yeah, so that'd be good.
Black people doing things. I'm proud.
Yeah, so
as it should be.
Yeah.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to move right along. We got any more hot topics?
Hot topics.
That's I
Do
guess
we?
That's the closing of the hot topics.
You're welcome.
So that means we transitioning.
I had to make sure he didn't sing it before I did. Bastards. Light skins. That's are they always trying to Christopher Columbus show shit. You know that's my shit. Light skin.
Whatever. Oh, Merle Dandridge is coming back to Once on This Island. Is that how you say her name?
Merle
Dandridge from
mm-hmm.
From Greenleaf.
Yeah.
Now, I like Tamira Gray.
I only saw Mabu Roderick, so I have no other Papa Gays in my brain, but there's Tamira.
Yeah,
Merle.
Tamira. I like Tamira. She's doing really good in the show. I like her. I seen it this weekend. Well, I just said that, but yeah, I like her in the show.
I do want to go back again and see Merle. I just to see. Why not?
Yeah, like,
it's only
Merle.
90 minutes. It's quick.
Right, it is quick. It's good, too. It's just a good show all the way around.
Yeah.
I was, like, deciding what I was going to take because my friend from college is in town this weekend, so that's why we went to go see it. And I was deciding between that and something else that I hadn't seen. I was thinking, like, well, what would I go and see? But I was like, no. They haven't seen it.
I'll go again.
This is what I'll go.
Yeah.
So we're going to move right along. We got questions.
We do have questions.
Now, before we go back.
Somebody let you have it.
Well, he ain't let me. He nicely told me. Like, he strongly worded
email. That's what it gave.
Very
was
strongly
like, worded email.
Can I speak to your manager? Susan.
He said, hey, it's Evan Mutant. I might have missed it, but I'm pretty sure my question wasn't read on last week's podcast like y'all said on this week. It wasn't a part of the question segment, so was it another part of last week's episode?
Evan, you tried it.
I said, I'm so sorry. We'll make sure we'll read it this week.
He said,
week.
Who you finna try? I swear it ain't me. Who bet it ain't me? Caps, caps, caps.
Oh, my God. And that dude that made that video go viral, I actually seen him as Jimmy Early in Dreamgirls.
Shut up.
With Angela Burchett.
Of course, they singing.
That was in Seattle, I believe?
Wow.
And when he told me that was him, I said, oh my goodness, it's such a small world.
Makes sense.
But shout out to him. I can't think of his name at the moment, and that makes me so angry.
That's
because
okay.
He's such a nice guy.
We'll find it before the episode.
Let me see. Okay. Let me get this email out.
Well, let's read this question before he can send his
another Tony with the email.
We gonna see some thugs come down. Ooh.
He gonna walk into the studio.
Listen.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all not gonna get us today.
Mm-mm.
We will answer all the questions. Praise the Lord.
Do I got it? Let me make sure I got it.
You better have it.
Listen.
Please don't tell me.
Oh my God, Drew.
I know. Don't listen. This is not my fault.
Oh my God.
Am I in the right? Am I in the right email inbox?
Chris, bleep this whole part.
Okay, I found it.
Praise God.
Here we go. Hey there. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast, and I love the show. I was wondering, as a rising senior about to graduate undergrad, how do actors, playwrights, content creators make money while not in a show or their work is being produced? Thank you, Evan Mutant.
That's so funny. Can I tie that
really
in with these?
Like, we answered that one, but he's saying we did.
No, and I have two others from this week that tie into it, so we're going to answer all the same. Okay, in fact, I'm going to read them all together.
Okay.
This is from George Carver McGriff. I got a question for everybody. As black performers and artists in this business, there are less opportunities for us all around, both on and off stage. Because of this, some people may be forced to take jobs that may not fulfill the artistic soul. Do you believe that sometimes in your journey, especially in the beginning, taking those jobs strictly for the money is wiser in the long run, or is feeding the artist more important? Is figurative feeding more important than physical feeding? Should we take the jobs short term, long term, in the beginning of your career when you just need money? What kind of jobs? Everything about survival jobs as artists.
Yes. So I think it's different just depending on what area you're trying to pursue. Me as a content creator, and I've done shows before, but I'm not pursuing that track of being a performer. So I was able to take a, serving job and that worked out for me in some aspects. I no longer have the temperament to be a server or a bartender anymore.
Yes.
But I did do that in order to make ends meet. Now I do a lot more freelance work. Just pretty much anything and everything that I have an interest in, I can sort of cultivate a plan to make it happen and me to, I can get a job.
Yes.
So you just have to find creative ways and things that feed you personally. And when you don't have it like that and you're just, trying to make ends meet, you got to get those, 9-to-5 jobs. You got to get those temp agency jobs. You got to get anything that's going to allow you the freedom to chase your dream.
Yes. I'll say a couple things. Yes, my mother used to tell me a long time ago, even Meryl Streep don't work 365 days of the year. Like, for me right now, I'm in a lab. When the lab ends, we know we are going to Broadway at a certain point. But there will be a number of months between lab and show. And do you sit home on your couch all day and watch TV and eat ice cream, there still has to be something that you do that right. can generate income for yourself. And I like to call it not having like a plan B, but having like an A plus plan. It's what right. you do that can coincide with your work. I don't think you should ever sign up for something that is not flexible and does not allow you yeah. to go and audition. Right. Don't ever do anything where your boss is going to look at you sideways, because that's not what you're here for. If being an artist and acting and performing, whatever, writing is your thing, you have to have a job that understands that my art is first.
Right. Yeah.
And that waiting these tables or mixing these drinks come second and third and fourth. So first of all, you have to figure out what kind of job is best and tap into skills that you already possess. Like when we were in college, there were people who braided hair. There were right. people who, you know, would design people's like dorm rooms and stuff. Like if you have skills that you do very well now, turn that into your business. My friend Galen, shout out to Galen Williams, who has shout a side out. Business, Broadway Braids. He braids hair. Mm-hmm. He makes G's throat coats that are scarves, right. things that allow him to make money, but also
I feel
show
like we
up.
We did talk about this.
We might
I
have.
Feel like we did.
Even if we didn't, we still gonna tell the okay. people.
I'm just saying, but I feel like deja vu at the moment.
It might be deja vu, but we gonna do it for you, Ethan, and I hope it's not deja vu, because then we gonna come find you.
His name is Evan.
Evan, sorry, Ethan. Ah. Evan. Dear Evan Hansen.
I don't want
Evan.
Another email. Don't have us get another email.
No, Evan, you can email us anytime.
Evan,
like.
Please email us anytime. Yes. So find your plan A plus, but then also a lot of actors be doing this thing that drives me crazy. It's like, I want to work in theater, so I'm gonna go and start. Like, I want to be an actor, so I'm gonna go to this theater and work in the props department because that's my way in. That is not smart. Mm. If you start working in props, they're gonna be like, "Oh, Keisha, you real good
you're
in props.
You're so good at props."
And you're gonna be like, "I want to audition for the spring show." No, and they're like, "But we don't have a props person, so could you just stay for three more shows till we get us a prop person?" Then 12 years later, you props manager, you never did the show. Stop trying to get in the theater as an actor by going in through box office. That you're not gonna meet no casting directors in the box office.
You know who? That is walking in your purpose.
Listen, mm-hmm.
someone that has taken the lead on that and sort of just standed their ground and said, "This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I want to be seen as. This is who you're going to cast me as, and I'm not going to accept anything less." It's Ariana DeBose.
Mm-hmm.
She released an article basically saying that she is a leading lady,
mm-hmm.
and that she is no longer going to be taking any type of ensemble mm-hmm. dancer roles. Mm-hmm. She has stuck to that, and now she is nominated for supporting actress as a supporting actress in a musical for Donna.
Uh-huh.
Donna Summer musical. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so admirable. That is admirable.
It is.
Like,
Sticking to your guns
and saying, "This is who I am."
Yeah.
And I'm not going to allow you to
put me in
any other box other mm-hmm. than that.
Sometimes you have to have that level of self-confidence.
You have to have that confidence. Right.
This is what I want.
No matter what anybody else may think about that.
But
no matter what anybody else
thinks, mm-hmm. that it is a journey. Because I'm sure it was a journey from making that statement to then being nominated.
Ariana
it
has been hustling for years.
It wasn't a quick turnaround.
You can't show up at your first gig. Talk about, listen.
But she's one of those people that has cultivated an image for herself that has worked in her favor.
Tell the truth.
She has cultivated an image that may not be based in reality all of the time, but it is definitely something that has made people take focus and notice her for what she's bringing to the table at that time. Y'all, I did that. Yes. You! Amen. Okay.
Shut up.
But that is just, I think that's just admirable.
Yes.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to have that. Nobody else is going to believe in you harder than you.
Listen, mm-hmm.
Ooh,
that's
you
it.
Said that.
Nobody
that's
else
it.
Is going to believe in you
truth.
Harder than you.
That's
and
it.
Nobody's going to fight for your
that's
journey harder than you. Like, I've had to really learn that. Like, you know, I had to realize that Broadway Black is my journey.
Yeah. Mm.
That nobody's going to fight for it harder than me. And so I have to make sure that I cultivate that image and that space to be what it is that I want it to be.
Yes.
And make sure that I stand with that and move with that.
To speak to those questions, and Leslie Odom Jr. told me a long time ago, just because it feeds you doesn't mean it's feeding you.
Mm.
And that's like, you have, only you have your bills. I don't know what bills you got. You got student loans. Like, that's the real, real deal part of life that nobody really prepares artists for. Nobody talks to us about how to live in the world as just regular citizens who got bills and things to do. So I can't tell you what makes sense long term, short term. You just have to be honest with yourself. You have to do what makes sense. Like, I know around this table, I'm sure we have three completely different experiences. I went to college. I had a full ride. So I graduated with not a single student loan with no debt at all.
Look at God. Shout out.
Which I allowed me to move through the world differently than other people who are supporting their grandmama back home, sending money home every week.
You don't
who
know
got brothers and sisters. Like, everybody has something different. So I'm never going to sit up here and tell you only do the art and, you know, it's about creating. No, no, no. You got only you going home at night with your bills and your burdens on your chest. I can't help you with none of that. I see so many people like on Facebook asking, should I go to grad school? Should I do this? Don't ask Facebook that, because not a single person on Facebook is going to help you pay a single one of their bills.
And not a single person is you.
Listen.
You know what you need.
You have to sit down and say, this is where I am today. This is what I can afford. This is what I can't. I love theater, but if I'm not making money, if I cannot support myself right now, I might have to take this little side gig, but I know that it is temporary, and I am moving through spaces so that in 6 months or a year, I can quit this job and do what I want full time. Like, don't ever lose sight of that, because when you get a check every Thursday, that starts feeling real good. And don't nobody want to leave a consistent, stable
check
go out and be in this world struggling. So you have to sit down with yourself, with your thoughts, with your bank account, with your bills, and figure out what makes sense for you, where you are.
That's the truth. And tell me, Amber, if this is also the case as an actress. So thinking about before getting to where I'm at right now and taking the jobs that like I had to take beforehand of like working in restaurants and like doing all of these things, like working in like offices, all of these things that didn't align with my purpose, but knowing that I had to take it so that I could be able to pay a bill.
Yes.
Like I still found ways to keep my craft and to keep my art going. So, for example, if I'm working in a restaurant and I hear conversations, just listening to the way people talk and how that can influence like my plays and how I write, hearing arguments and saying, oh, that's conflict that I would want to have in work of mine. So still doing all of this other shit that I know I'm not going to do in the long haul, but still being able to find a way into it through my craft and having a few me. Like, were there moments for you as an actress, like taking other jobs or like doing other things, but still being able to find your way into it through art to have a few you? Or was this, do you think, was different?
I think what you were saying is absolutely correct. I remember when I first graduated from Howard, I went back to Atlanta, and smaller cities have very specific like seasons. Like everything is done by June, and September is when everything is happening. I had moved back July 4th. Everything had already been booked. And a friend asked me if I wanted to be an assistant stage manager on a show that Jasmine Guy was directing. Jasmine had just moved back to Atlanta. She was the hottest thing in town. And I was so like, how dare you ask? I have a BFA in theater. I'm an actor. How dare you ask me to be an ASM? Like, that is so beneath me, just being young and dumb, right? But I took the, after I like had a moment with myself, I was like, there's nothing else for you to do right now. This is an opportunity to be in a room and watch other artists and learn. And I went to work every day, and my job was literally, I would pick Jasmine's daughter up from school and take her to Chick-fil-A. I would come and play like the tape recorder. I was doing whatever people needed me doing. I was getting Starbucks, and it was a humbling experience for me. Fast forward to a couple months later, the show was going on the road, and Jasmine called me and was like, it was for Color Girls. And Jasmine called me and she was like, oh, just make sure you check your mail, because I'm sending you a script for Lady in Orange. And I was like, what? And she was like, oh yeah, I knew who you were when you walked into that room. She said, you sat next to me every day and you would hum under your breath, or it was the way you approached work that I gave you. She was like, I knew you were an actor. I knew that this was not what you do all the time. She said, I ain't even seen you, but I know from the energy that you brought into the room, and I know how you, something as simple as these 17 orders from Starbucks, the precision and the way you attacked it, I knew that you were an artist of a certain type.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to audition, and she gave me the job. Oh, so wow. Here I was, like, in my own world, like, being mad, mm-hmm. still trying to be aware in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, there were actors in there who were ferocious, and mm-hmm. I was taking notes, but like, ooh, next time I get a gig, I want to try the way they approach. I like her process. Mm-hmm. Like, I was surrounded by art, mad that I wasn't walking in what I thought was my season.
Yeah.
And then God came from out left and just gave me an opportunity.
Yeah.
Come on. I believe, and it was a lesson for me in humility. Mm-hmm. It was a lesson for me in listening. God was like, if you don't sit your tail down and press play on this tape recorder, your next job is sitting right next to you if you can act right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So sometimes you go left thinking you're going all the way left, and you're really going right. You just don't know it yet.
Right.
And you got to have faith and persistence patience.
Come on,
and
faith.
Sit down and know that God knows what you need. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
faith, you persistence, patience.
You just got to you got to be still sometimes.
Yes.
You got to be still. You got to be still. I was inspired
by
those.
But be consistently still.
Hey.
Say that.
Hello?
That's a word.
Come on.
That's a word.
Be consistently still.
Yeah. I was inspired by those women in that room. And there were things that I was soaking up and really being like, oh, there were moments I was like, oh, thank you, God, for this. Like, I really kind of needed this. I didn't know I needed this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I needed to be inspired from the outside.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that the inspiration only comes, like, when you're in the show.
Yeah.
But sitting there watching those women do what I do and wanted to do inspired me more than I knew.
Yeah.
You know, it was, that was
a
beautiful time.
And that's a lesson.
It really is.
That's a lesson within itself.
It really is. I'm grateful for that opportunity. Yeah.
That you can't get no other way.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What about you, Danya? What survival jobs did you pick up, and what did you do along the way? I know you were a teaching artist a lot.
Yeah. And so I would just sharing with Amber in terms of like other jobs, survival jobs, like serving at restaurants, mm-hmm. working office jobs. And for me, I was able to find my way into my passion, into my purpose, and still have it aligned with what I do.
Yeah.
It's just listening to conversations people would have.
Yeah.
And write, how can I write realistic dialogue?
That's
and
so
just
cool.
Hearing people around me, arguments that would happen around me, mm-hmm. and how can I use that to create real conflict amongst people.
That.
So like finding ways in through shit that really at the time didn't feel like it aligned with what it was that I was meant to do, but it fueled what I was meant to do.
Because our first job as artists is to be observers.
Exactly.
Right.
Really
exactly.
At the end of the day is to be observers, and how can we observe the
truth? I love that.
And document the truth and put the truth out there. And yes, and then also I got into doing teaching artistry for almost like 8 years, and like my teaching artistry was playwriting.
Yes.
But what was so interesting is,
Diane, you be talking about all these years. How old are you?
Shut up. 22.
Right, that's what I'm saying, 'cause Diane be talking about, I be forgetting.
I know.
Diane be talking. I don't think people know how old you are.
32.
So you're 32.
We're the same age.
Yeah. You're 32.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Come through.
But see, like people say it's 7, 8 years. I'm thinking like, Diane, how old are you?
But I'm like a day over 18.
Uh-huh.
Hello, seriously.
The face sits.
Come on now. Doing teaching artistry for about 8 years, and I was teaching playwriting, and so I wasn't writing my own plays, which was interesting for me, but I was teaching individuals how to write plays. So that was still me being in the craft, mm-hmm. and like I would come across so many amazing, if it was like a full play or a scene or a monologue that someone wrote that inspired me,
mm-hmm.
and that made me remember, yes, Danya, you are on your path, and you also are still supposed to be telling your stories.
I love that.
So just finding my own way into it.
Okay, I love that. Thank you so much.
How about
that.
You?
Yeah. Come on now.
Well, I mean, like I said, I Broadway Black has been my survival mm-hmm. job. I've sort of cultivated that to make money the way that I know how. So like I just started doing a lot of research on what it means to have a web platform and a digital presence and how I can monetize that. And so I've just sort of made it through. And then I stopped bartending and serving about maybe, 2.5, 3 years
mm-hmm.
ago. And that was a big thing for me, just mm-hmm. because that's what I've always done. I've always worked in fine dining. I've always, created craft cocktails and menus and been a bar manager. And mm-hmm. Getting out of that life is sort of difficult, but it was necessary because I couldn't attend events and bartend.
Damn.
There was no way I was able to. And then
all
I
the events
write
is
and,
happening at night.
Right. So it just started to work out for me. I just began to, and I had a great support system. That was another thing. My support system, because there were times where I didn't have no money to eat.
Yes.
Or I didn't have, money for rent. And
let's
my parents
talk about it.
Sent it to me. And I was able to, make things, ends meet some kind of way. God just pushed me through some kind of way until I was able to get my footing in the right direction, because it's real out here.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know,
is.
New York is a really big beast. And you know, I know a lot of times people, especially people are hard on millennials because we do things differently than most. But we don't have the same resources as our parents did and
so
our
real.
Grandparents did. And money is extremely tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we not having no kids. We ain't got no kid money.
Listen.
And so we don't even have kid money. How we got rent money.
Well.
It's hard. It's difficult sometimes. So yeah, I mean, I did pretty much everything you can think of. I mean, I worked at the church.
Mm-hmm.
I swept floors. I've cleaned bathrooms. I will do anything.
Yes.
And I told my mom I would do anything and I will be homeless living in a shelter before I move back home.
Hey.
And so that's why she'd be scared and she'd be sending me to rent money.
She'd be like, I don't want your ass back in. Praise
God. Right. No, if my mama had it her way, I would be back home.
Oh,
she would
love
for me
to. I think all of our mothers would, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
But then also, like, you saying that is a true testament to believing in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, knowing for sure there is something deep inside me that I'm supposed to be doing
mm-hmm.
and nothing is going to shake that.
Well, you know, my moving here was that for me, because I lost my job back mm-hmm. home, and I said, if I'm going to start over, there's no way I'm doing it here.
Mm.
I broke my lease. I sold my furniture, sold my car, everything within a matter of a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I put together a going away concert and sort of gathered money that way. And my old boss, who had actually fired me, actually bought my car. And because he knew I needed the money. And come to find out, I found out maybe a year or two later that the car that he bought for me broke down maybe 2 weeks later. And he never even told me.
Wow.
I never asked for the money back or anything, but he knew I needed it because I was moving.
That's amazing.
And I've moved here with maybe a couple $1,000 and mm-hmm. no place to live. And I tweeted out, you know, said, hey, anybody got a room to rent? Mm-hmm. And just ended up finding something. Somebody came and got me from the airport mm-hmm. that day. So it was just me leaping out on faith for me even getting here. Had I had the knowledge and the things that I know now about New York and I don't think I ever would have moved.
Same.
You know, if I knew what I would have gone through and experienced and all the things that I've lived through and done here in the city, I don't know if I would have the courage mm-hmm. to move.
Here's a question that is directly in line with that. It's from LaDarian Copeland. It says, mm-hmm. with being a successful artist, do you think there's a certain time we should make the big leap to New York or LA? When do you think it's the right time to do that?
The right time is when you are so full of life mm-hmm. and when you have the gusto, when you have mm-hmm. the courage to do it. Because if you start to second guess it, you will lose it. You will.
Listen,
you will never move.
There will never be
will
the
never
right
be
time.
Time.
There will never be the right amount of money you have
not
saved.
At all.
There will
Child.
Never be. I have a certain number of credits on my resume. Mm-hmm. I have attained the right agent. There will literally
never
be a time when you wake up and
never,
go
ever,
today
ever.
On January 3rd. Never. It'll
you just
never
have to,
happen.
It just has to click for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you have to make the decision. You have to move on that. You
absolutely.
Have to act
and
on
like,
that decision.
I can't go back to it enough with what you said, Drew, which is so true. You have to. It's not about knowing and feeling like there's a right time. It's about knowing and feeling and believing in yourself.
Right.
Like
mm-hmm.
you have to have that deep, unshakable
deep.
Faith
mm-hmm.
in you.
There was nothing that nobody
creator.
Could tell me.
Not
exactly.
I didn't even tell my mom
mm-hmm.
until, you know, like it was the last mm-hmm. minute because I didn't want her to try to
Listen.
Talk me out of it. There was nothing that anybody could tell me tell me, I'm moving to New York.
Listen.
Because you knew.
I'm going. I don't know how I'm getting there.
But I'm going to get there.
Before I sold my car, I was planning on driving that same car.
To New York.
To New York.
Go
I said, if it break down on me on the way, I get a Greyhound on the way for the rest of the way.
Go
but I'm
mercy.
Taking myself
when I
to New York.
When I graduated from college, I gave myself 2 to 3 years. I said, I'm going to go back home because I don't have any debt, but I don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
So moving to New York did not make sense. When I hit the end of that third year, I was living at home. My mom was making me 3 square meals a day. I was driving my Jeep. My boyfriend was fly. We was living the American dream.
Yes.
People call me the Halle Berry of the South. I was booking 4 plays a year. Like
come
I was booked. Why would I pack
Why
up and move
leave?
To New York?
For what?
And I was like, it's the third year. And my boyfriend came to me. He was like, if you don't leave now, I'm going to leave you.
Ooh.
Because he knew how comfortable I was.
Ooh.
And he knew I was
he had to shake shit up.
He shook it
he
up.
He set that table,
he
girl.
Don't shake the table. he knew. He could tell I was falling into I was just living in Atlanta and running through the
Listen,
trees
that
and
southern,
grass.
That southern, that good southern living
oh
will get you.
Oh, my God.
Boy,
and
when I tell you.
When he said that to me, it really it woke something up in me. And by that time, yes, I had an agent. And yes, I had got my equity card, but I hadn't saved the right amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I wait, I'm not going to go. Because nobody wants to start over in New York after a certain age. Right. And me and my mom packed up my Jeep and drove the 14 hours. I didn't have but maybe $700. I didn't have nowhere near the amount of money that I wanted to have. I moved in January. It was 2 degrees outside. But I booked my first off-Broadway show 4 months later. Like, it was the exact right time. I did not know it was the right time. I just knew at that time, it was time to go.
That faith.
There will never be a right time. It's that faith.
There will never. Literally, I moved November the 12th. By that January, February, March, I was at opening nights of Motown,
Kinky Boots,
interviewing Billy Porter and all sorts of different stars that I looked up to. You know, Tanya Pinkins was like one of my, I loved Carolina Change. And so meeting Tanya Pinkins was a big deal for me. And then Keisha Lewis from Once on This Island and LaShawn's. And I was floored. All of those experiences I never would have had if I had chose to wait.
Yes, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, y'all, I literally, about 2016 is when I felt things start to move. Prior to that, I was going through it living here. Like, in terms of not having any money, going through depression, wondering if I made the right decision moving here. Like, literally, and you talked about support system. Shout out to Brandon, my husband. Before we got married, I actually lost track of how many times he had to pay for my rent. Because I couldn't afford rent. It was nights where I didn't
And you didn't even want to be here.
I didn't want to be here.
He wanted to move back to Philly.
I didn't want to. And when you say not wanting to be here, in the physical sense and
the spiritual.
I was like, y'all, I can't do it. I can't do it. It was night after night. I remember eating like ramen noodles because it was 79 cents. I could afford. I could afford.
Listen,
but when you think about how far he's brought us.
My God, like it just chokes you up. I really remember the days when I had $5 and it was either eat or go to the audition. And I would go to the audition and hope that I would figure out the eating part.
Later.
Like, that shit is very real.
That dollar pizza didn't save my life.
My God.
Literally
it's
saved
been
my
breakfast,
life.
Lunch, and dinner. My God.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, and I want to encourage people to let them know that that everybody doesn't go through that.
Yeah,
everybody. That's not everybody's story. That's not the story that you have to have in order to achieve success.
But you should be prepared just in case.
Exactly.
Just in case. You should be prepared to go through whatever just in case.
Because the thing is, you don't. It's not always an uphill climb.
Right.
My 2013, I made my Broadway debut. I made more money than I've ever worked in my life. The following year, I worked 8 weeks. I lost my health insurance. I had absolutely nothing. Like, people think, oh, once you start, it's a steady climb up.
Nope.
No, it's peaks and valleys.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's highs and lows. So you can't come just thinking, once I book that first job, the rest is set.
It's not.
Because there will be some falls and some backsliding and some, I thought I had, oh, no, I don't anymore. How am I going to survive?
You have
to be prepared for the long haul.
The long haul.
Oh, Jesus, that's
real. You have
real.
To play the long haul
game. And don't do it unless you love it.
Yep. You have to love it.
This not some stuff if you just want to be famous. This money ain't it.
And like, the theater, like,
theater ain't famous.
Right. Like, this, I mean, you might get some connections to the next film and television project, but if you're doing theater, you have to love it because it's not a fame driven.
And don't be in it because you hope and then it's going to propel you to the TV and film.
Like, that ain't the way.
Listen,
that's not the way.
It don't. I've seen people get the Tony nom, the Tony win, and still
don't get the guest feature. Right.
Speak the truth of life.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I just want to go back and congratulate Book of Mormon on 3,000 performances.
That's
on
amazing.
Broadway.
Wow.
Speaking of people that have started in that show, Brian Tyree Henry started that show.
Tony
Nikki
Amini.
And James
Tony
that
Winner.
Show. Right. Andrew Rannells.
Yes, Tony Winner. Look at God.
What is the heaviest? I can't even think of his name now. I want to say his name is Jonah Hill. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think it's Jonah Hill. Wait, let me. I don't. Don't let me.
No.
Sometime when it comes to white people, I gotta Google.
Is it Seth Rogen? Seth Rogen?
No, now you're naming all the ones that look alike. Wait a minute. Oh, geez.
Trey.
Did you say Trey?
Trey Parker. Trey Parker.
He wrote it, right?
Wrote the show. Oh, Rima Webb is another.
Rima
Webb. If y'all don't know who Rima Webb is, y'all need to get into Rima because Rima has been in like every single Black Broadway musical. Like, she's originated roles.
Josh Gad.
I like Josh Gad. So he's the original Book of Mormon too. Isn't that crazy?
Literally.
Yeah.
Everybody from the skyrocketed.
Right.
That's Gavin Creel. All of them. That's amazing.
Gavin Creel,
1,000 performances.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
That's amazing.
And that motherfucker say every
Michael
night
Potts.
Talking about some, I've got AIDS.
Yeah, no, right.
I can't.
When I first seen that, because I first seen it in the tour in L.A., actually went
because I was staying with Michael Kilgore, and he was in the show, so I went to go see him out there. And when they first came out and said that shit, I said, oh my, like my mouth dropped. Oh my God, because I had never listened to the score. I didn't, you know, really care, you know, that much about it. But it's actually a good musical, and I just couldn't believe it. That some of the shit that they said, like, that has to take a toll on your psyche, like your mental. How can you say those words every night? Like,
I remember it was the first Broadway show I auditioned for when I moved here. And it just so happened, my callback was on a Sunday. And it was 10 of us church loving fools. And when I tell you, we had a prayer circle and prayed before our callback. And Lord, you know these words are not on our hearts, Jesus. Lord, you know we are embodying the characters.
Yes.
My God, but we do not mean to say F you, God. That is not what you have called us to say on today. God, we just want you to know.
Look, you see, you ain't booked that.
Listen, because God did not want me to
know
that.
He knew. Look, Margo knew.
Listen.
And that was by the creators of South Park, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it
does make sense. And it's not a bad show. You know, overall, the message and everything is not a bad show.
I went to see it literally a couple of months ago, had a friend in it, and laughed harder than I've laughed in a long time.
It's funny.
I was able to remove myself and be like, this is actually some funny shit.
Right. You just gotta laugh.
You just gotta go in and be like, okay, I'm going to roll my eyes 10 times. But all right.
This is actually some funny shit.
It's really
I didn't know I was going to laugh like this shit.
Oh, my God. My God. I also do want to read... do we have any more questions?
We have one more.
Do you want to
have time for one more?
Yeah, we got
time.
This
is going in a different direction. I was just asked this from a white artistic director, so maybe I will ask you all to see what you say.
Lord.
With the invention of... His words, not mine. With the invention of cross-cultural casting experiences such as Hamilton and Cinderella, because there's only two and y'all acting like we... Anyway, why is it important for all black cast and black theater companies to exist?
Because we need safe spaces to be able to create and work.
People out here thinking that because of Hamilton, we can get rid of all black
cast. Wait, who said that?
All, this is Alric Davis. This was said to him. This was a conversation with a white artistic director.
I blacked out for a second. So I don't. I didn't remember that part. I just got mad. Like, wait, what?
It was about to get real.
No, that was about to get real. That's really
Thank
a
you, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Shout out.
Right. That's really a way of thinking. Now it's like, because of colorblind casting, because of Hamilton, we don't need shows with all black cast, and we don't need
that. Don't make no
companies.
Damn sense. I'm tired of that.
And tell us why you guys think this. Why? Like, why don't?
Where
we
is this coming from? That's like saying we had back in 1978, we had Ain't Misbehaving,
right?
And that five person show should have booked y'all for lifetimes. Why don't you shuck and jive and coon yourself on Ain't Misbehaving? And
I mean, like, it's like, but we don't ask. White people can have all
every
white
show. Merrily, we roll the fuck along. All the fucking time. Like, I'm tired. Like, everything.
White people can have all white cast. They can have cast that are not
The Hello, like, not Hello Dolly. Just seen somebody post a picture of North Shore's production of MAME.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I know we not really trying to, you know, talk about, you know, you make the cotton easy to pick.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But... MAME is a good damn show,
and
there should be no reason why Beauregard can't be black,
That's
or
true.
You know, there shouldn't be any type of mixture in the ensemble. Literally, all white cast. Them talking about some, you know, they were sweating and you know, in the middle of rehearsals stuff for this show. And I'm thinking, like, I like MAME. I want to see a black MAME. Give me a Jennifer Lewis as MAME.
Hey.
But I did say that one time that I wanted to produce a production of MAME with Jennifer Lewis, and I said she would be great as Vera. She said, "Ha." I'm a MAME.
Hey!
That's right. I know that's right.
She told me. She
I can
said,
hear her saying that.
I'm
mess.
MAME. You got me fucked
right.
up.
But it is those black theater companies and all black casts. I mean, representation still matters.
Right.
We still need safe spaces to create
right.
our own work and
tell
our own stories.
Because it can be so exhausting being in these spaces where you don't see yourself reflected.
Listen,
and you have to explain.
And let me tell you about all these fake-ass, diverse-ass shows that ain't really diverse.
At all.
Let me tell you.
We just talked about the casting director.
Listen, when you cast 17 black people, but they all light-skinned with curly hair, that's not diversity.
Hello?
That's safe black
people. And just like what we talked about last week.
My life is forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
When you see, like, a show... And you can tell, you see black bodies, you see brown bodies,
mm-hmm.
but you know not a damn person of color was attached to creating it,
yes.
directing it.
Absolutely.
They just said, just let me throw this body of
Absolutely.
Color on this white experience.
Listen, you can't, you, you, is there's, I understand as a writer, when you're writing for a white woman, when you're writing for a white man, that it takes a different sensibility, a different set of circumstances, a different point of view than when you're writing for a black character, an Asian character, mm-hmm. an Indian character. So when you just take a show that a character that was written for a white woman and put a black woman into that role,
it's lazy and sloppy and trifling.
Thank you, Donye. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Because put me next to another 32-year-old white woman, we have completely different upbringings. We come from different places. We have different experience. Mm-hmm. We speak differently. We move differently. Mm-hmm. So you can't do this whole diverse casting and this whole blind cast. That it's all bullshit. It really is. That's why we need companies where the works are produced and written by black people or Indian people or Asian people, because it starts from the foundation.
Only we can tell our stories.
Only we can tell our stories.
Before that, this is an industry that wasn't built for us to begin with. We weren't even allowed. I mean, even I think that, what's the lady named? Bayork Lee from Chorus Line was saying that when she auditioned for Chorus Line, they weren't even allowed to audition in the same parts or the same rooms of other, you know, white people. You know, people of color had different sections of the theater to audition for the same show.
Ain't that crazy?
And we're going to be performing on the same stage.
Listen.
You got me fucked up.
Yeah, it's just too many people. I love Hamilton, but I hate what it's done for the way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People think that Hamilton has come in and saved us
and
all.
And it's not. And really, to be honest, you know, the black people that are benefiting from it, the original cast members that are finally benefiting from it, but think because they have their cut, you know, those are only black people that are really benefiting from this show.
Understood.
The people that are, like, the actual money is being made by Lin-Manuel Miranda, his dad, and the creators of the show.
Mm-hmm. The producers,
the main black people.
I hear what you're saying.
So I'm confused as to how we're thinking that this is the save all for
people.
For
just think
because
you see a
show.
Cast and it's got some black people in it, and every company got some black people in that. Now we all good.
That ain't it.
And the thing about Hamilton is that it's not. It's also not us telling our story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hamilton is not my story. It's not our story. So we still need spaces where we can tell our story.
But somebody got mad at me when I said Lin-Manuel Miranda wasn't Broadway black.
I remember that.
That's okay, but he's not black.
He's still a person of color, and he's still making strides, so shout out to him. Listen, and he's still employing a lot of black people, too.
That is correct. Yes, praise God to him.
Listen.
All right, we're going to move right along. We got some of the you guys sent in letters from last week about microaggressions, so I just wanted to read.
Oh, wow.
I'll read one of them, and this is from... Tommy. And Tommy says,
Tommy.
Tonight I was able to catch my friend in the MacArthur Theater production of Intimate Apparel, Lynn Nottage's beautiful play that subtly addresses the intersectionality of 1905 New York through the business transactions of a black seamstress. While the play was wonderfully acted with a set design that was out of this world, this post is not about that. This is a post about my audience experience and what microaggressions look like. Mm-hmm. After a 15-minute pre-show talk about themes in the play where audience members had general seating, we were asked to go to our ticketed seats after the house officially opened. Before I went to buy my interval drink, I went to locate my seat so I knew where it would be when I got back, this being my first time at this theater. The house seats filled up as I was at the bar making my purchase. When I got back to my seat, it appeared the entire row was full, including my seat. You know, we cannot stand for somebody to be in our seat.
My God, Jesus.
I don't care if I'm late or not. Why are you in my seat?
Listen, it's that I'm sitting in a seat that I'm not supposed to be in.
Right.
I don't want you to say shit to me.
Right. Look, we can be on the other end, but let's not be.
Listen, don't sit in my seat, but I can sit in yours.
Right.
Rosa Parks sat for a reason. Shit.
I excused myself politely while stepping over people to get to where my seat was, the one I knew I was assigned.
Uh-huh.
Three women were in the middle of a conversation. Excuse me, is one of these seats 105, I asked, giving my voice a lift to not ask to not be threatening. The fact that you even have to think about
lifting,
because you know what? Excuse me, is one of these seats 105?
Yes, I'm pleasant. 105? I'm a safe black
person. Yes, please.
Do not be afraid.
Right, don't call the police.
Oh, Jesus.
So this happens from time to time, making myself more palatable, even when I'm wearing my dress-up clothes. One of the women looks around frantically and gets up and moves over one seat. The seat that is now available is 107. that's not my ticket
oh,
seat.
Oh, Jesus.
But good try, man.
Uh-oh.
Then the woman in seat 103 goes, oh, this is my friend. We haven't seen each other in a while, and we're in mid-conversation. Can you just sit in that empty seat? She indicated 107 while clinging to her long-lost friend. She hugged her friend tighter, her smile hopeful. I paid for 105.
Woo!
I gave them thin lips, that thin lip smile that I'm often met with by superiors who say you can't have your way.
Mm.
I even gave a slight shoulder shrug that said it is what it is. Like, I paid for 105. Like, this is it, right? But this is my friend, she pleaded. So I looked to the left of 105 and to the right of 105. Do I want to fight this battle? I decide to humor them. Are you all a unit? I can't believe I'm considered giving up the seat I paid for. Who raised me to be so accommodating?
Mm.
And long lost woman isn't even trying to get up out of the seat I paid for. Then suddenly the woman in seat 103 says, we didn't know we'd be at the same show, so we saw each other and wanted to chat. I'm at loss for words, but my face is still giving the this is awkward and uncomfortable for me look. Then suddenly in woman in 103 goes, you know what? I don't want to cause a thing. It's not a big deal. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's your seat. We'll just talk at intermission. She says the last sentence to her friend. She's not rude. She seems more embarrassed than angry about it. She figures she was being harmless in her request and now was getting out of control. She didn't expect all this.
Yeah. Okay.
But ma'am, you knew it was my seat from jump.
Like, how am I wrong?
Why did you think your long-lost friendship trumped the money I spent on my ticket?
Yeah.
I sit in my seat, and woman in 103 commences to talk across me to her friend who is now in her appropriate seat, 107. In mid-conversation, she says, see, now we're talking across you. She laughs as if to say, see how silly this is? I could be sitting next to my friend. So I say, as long as you're talking about the show, we're cool.
Mm-hmm.
So during the show, they include me in their conversation about the play, and I laughed it off, as I've done many a microaggression. And then after act one, after my interval drinks, I came back to three empty seats next to me. The women had moved to the row behind me and had taken seats that they didn't pay for. Woman in 103 says to me, instead of talking across from you, we'll be chatting behind you. It's been so long, and we didn't know we'd see each other, so we wanted to sit by one another. These over 45 women sounded like 15-year-old students I'd taught over the past couple years. If the above wasn't enough, a young boy of 8 or 9 confused me with the young black lead of the show during intermission. I thought you were him, he said, because you kind of have the same beard. I have no beard. Just a faint goatee and a mustache, for the record. Nope, I'm not in the show, I smile, thinking to myself, black folks are still indecipherable to some people. Internally, I was shaking my head, and his mother didn't correct him or even say to him, that's not the actor, honey. Maybe that's not her job, I don't know, but maybe it's just me, but I shouldn't have to get used to these occurrences, but sadly, I am. And someone is reading this thinking that I was wrong to challenge those women. And someone is reading this saying that the child was just being innocent. I'm not problematic, I'm not a troublemaker, and I'm not invisible.
You're just tired.
I am not equivalent to the black man next to me. I am entitled to the same comforts as any other person. Most importantly, I paid for my seat.
My God.
If I pay for what's mine and people are justifying taking it from me, it's kind of hard for me to not to take an issue. Jesus. I really shouldn't have to fight for what's mine already.
Listen.
Story over.
You shouldn't. Like, you did absolutely nothing wrong.
You did.
You bought a ticket for a seat. You wanted to sit in your seat. And Kathy, Tiffany, and Ashley thought that their conversation was more important.
That it trumped yours. And I just don't understand
that.
But white people do that all the time. They want to make you feel like you're guilty.
Because let you have been sitting in their seat.
Right.
My God.
You just quickly say, you in my seat.
You in my seat.
At the end of the day, you are in my seat.
Y'all can talk later.
Yeah.
Go out to dinner. Go to Applebee's afterwards and get some cheese sticks.
I can't.
And then literally, then we have all of these mechanisms and how to navigate this type of shit.
Let me be nice.
Your
Let me
voice
lift.
Up. Like having to do all of this additional, extra, unnecessary shit so that we aren't seen as this kind of monster.
Yep.
Just threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's crazy.
We so sorry, sir.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Listen.
Well, I think I want to give this one shout out to Kirk, Jason Lambert, who emailed us and gave us a really touching email. This really discharged me through my week. He said, family, my name is Kirk Jason Lambert, and I'm a performer in the New Jersey, New York area. I'm currently listening to the podcast. My mic sounds nice.
Come through.
And I just had to reach out to you all. I just had to reach out to you all to express my thanks, gratitude, appreciation. Simply put, I am late to the game, but completely filled by the work you are doing. Mm. Off Book is healing me in ways you couldn't begin to understand.
Hey.
I'm telling anyone that will listen to me about this amazing podcast. Thank you all for doing the work.
Blessing. Thank you, boo!
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Shout out,
Kirk. So that charges
us
up.
Beautiful.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. We're going to keep being fools just for you.
We
ain't got no other choice. God dang it.
None. So we love that. So thank y'all so much. Donnie, what else you want to say? Because you're not going to be here for 3 weeks.
Damn, don't y'all remind me.
I want you to get all the words. Damn. I want you to get it all in.
I hate you so much. God, I hate you.
Y'all had some fun. Well, I know y'all going to have fun. I don't know if I got to say that. I miss y'all already.
I know.
Damn, 3 weeks?
That's a long ass time.
Damn.
Do I gotta go see the show?
Listen, Diane's not even gonna be required to go to the show. He's gonna be at that show every day.
You know he is.
Also, just give me one of your production seats one of them days.
Drew Shade, stop it.
Because it's gonna be some days where I just need to go in and be like, Danya, I just need to be there today.
Come through. No, for real.
Seriously, yeah. I know that we're not gonna have this all the time. This is gonna be this time where I know that I'm gonna, because I did this with Invisible Thread too. Mm-hmm. Which is the days where I need to pick up and just go.
Yeah. I hear you.
And I just know that this is one of those pieces for me. So I'm just
gonna
be like,
Danya,
I'm taking your production seat today.
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
Thank you, Danya, right, for putting up with light skinned over there. Thank you.
Y'all gonna keep it on. Keep on keeping on putting up.
Keep on keeping on.
I love y'all. Well, thank y'all so much. It's been an amazing, amazing episode. We thank you for hitting your mark with us, and we'll be back next week for Off Book. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Danya Love.
And I'm Princess Amber Iman.
Deuces, y'all.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.